Welcome to a knockdown, drag out, no holds barred special episode of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast. I am Tom, joined as always by Keith, Grant, and Battlemaster Rick.
That's right, Tom. Today we're going to put up against each other 16 of the galaxy's finest in the first annual Nerd Stravaganza Star Wars Intergalactic Battle Fest.
Wow.
What extraordinaire.
So we're not fighting each other?
That's for next week?
Okay, because I've been doing all this sick MMA training. Ooh. And, yeah. Also, I kind of dipped my hands in broken glass and glue.
Are you supposed to do it that way?
I don't know. I kind of stopped watching Bloodsport halfway through, but I'm pretty sure that happened in it. Also, my hands are bleeding, and I may faint before this is over. So just wow. Just be on the lookout for that as well.
So we know Grant's been busy with some dubious MMA training. Who wanted to go first with rounding up their activity since last time? Was that you, Keith?
Keith does.
I think Keith should go first. Keith, what have you been up to since last time we spoke, sir?
I've been up to exactly one thing. I've been up to it for approximately 79 hours and 29 minutes.
I think I know what it is.
Is it meth?
Did you say math?
No, meth.
No, it is not meth.
You've been Breaking Bad.
Oh, if only I had been Breaking Bad. But that would mean I'd have cancer.
Oh, dear. What have you been doing?
I have been playing Tribes Ascend.
Oh! Right?
Not last Friday, but the Friday before that, and this is a Tuesday, so we're looking at 10-ish days, I downloaded the game, and I have already logged 80 hours of playtime on it, and everything else in the world is invisible to me.
Okay, before you continue, I need to point out that I sent Keith a link to something about this game maybe 9 or 10 months ago, and I got a, pshaw, I don't play pay-to-play model games. This looks like crap. Continue!
Yes, it has been out for quite some time in beta release, and I did not download it. But yes, I Friday I got it. I wanted to see what it was like, and it is what I've been missing for the last 5 years. When they got rid of the main server for Tribes 2, I went over to World of Warcraft, which was a game type that I thought I would not enjoy. And I did. I got sucked into it and played it religiously daily and that sort of thing. Ever since I've gotten Tribes Ascend, I've spent about, I would say, 20 minutes playing World of Warcraft.
Wow.
I actually logged on one night to do some stuff. I went to the auction house and said, this game sucks, and logged back off and went to play Tribes.
Wow, you are in.
Oh, man, I've missed it for far too long. I needed the first-person shooter genre rules.
As I recall, Keith, you were the last guy there to turn the lights off on the server with Tribes 2, weren't you?
Like, pretty much so, yeah. I was, like, you know, playing until that day when that server went down, and then, you know, that was the night the lights went out in Georgia.
To the point where he was playing against himself. Not even kidding.
I would set up defenses, then I would switch teams and then try attack and see how good my defenses were.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
My
and I would
God,
do that
man.
For hours. So yes,
wow.
Tribes Ascend, it's free to play. Go ahead and download it. It gives you free three classes to start off with. There's a light armor class, which is used for capturing the flag, an infiltrator, which is a cloaking class, and then a sniper class. Then there's a medium armor, which is for your general fighting. There's a technician class where you get to repair stuff and deploy sensors and turrets. And then there's the heavy class, which you just wreak havoc with. You got big guns and mortars and heavy armor, and you take a lot of damage and you deal a lot of damage. And as you're playing, you gain experience points, and you can use those to spend on upgrading your weapons and your armor and such. Or you can, you know, fork over some cash and get to that a little bit sooner, which I did. I think it's a game that's good enough to spend some money on.
So absolutely.
I've been doing that literally, like I said, 80 hours in less than 10 days.
Wow. Now, Keith, admit it. This
this podcast episode is cramping your tribe style just a little bit tonight.
I will admit that. Yes. If I could, I'd be playing right now, but it's somewhat intensive on my computer, so I don't want to try to do things at once.
Please don't. Please don't. We need your full attention because we have our own combat to get to later on today.
Absolutely.
Cool. So, okay. Well, that was a one item, but very in-depth summary of what you've been up to, sir. I guess we can toss it over to someone with maybe a little more varied experience in the last week, which would be Grant.
Oh, my goodness. I have had this singular burning passion for, like, the past month that's finally... You know what? It started to come to fruition about 3 hours ago. So if I seem a little bit antsy, it's because my mind's somewhere else right now.
Okay.
I pulled the trigger on something I've been meaning to do for quite some time. I'm staring at about 5 different boxes from Newegg.com right now.
Oh, no way!
So I'm looking over at a PC case that right now just yes. has a motherboard, CPU, and a cooler and a couple sticks of RAM installed in it.
Oh,
so I'm halfway through building my PC right now.
Ah, that's you're living my dream right now.
Does it got the internet on it?
I'm assuming it will when it's done. I want to see if it has the ability to turn on without making smoke.
So that would help.
That's the first step to see if it keeps the smoke in. Then we'll work from there. But I'm pretty pleased. I held off until they released the Ivy Bridge chip, so I got one of the first run Ivy Bridge chips. I got the proper motherboards, 8 gigs of RAM, a suitable, you know, PCIe 3X card. And I'm pretty stoked for this thing. As soon as Diablo 3 drops next week, I'm going to
oh,
be
oh yeah.
I don't even need to play Diablo 3. My current computer plays Diablo 3, but
Somebody just got so excited.
Coins?
Somebody coughed up a box of Legos.
I'm not kidding. I was shifting so excitedly in my chair, I just knocked stuff over. So I'm sorry about that. About the PC build and Diablo 3.
Oh, no. So I'm pretty stoked about that, but it came with a copy of Dirt 3. So I guess I'm going to have Dirt 3 to tide me over until then. But one of my other things I want to do is I want to get some ISOs from Wii games on there. And just see what those look like at a proper resolution. Like, just like, you know, because I haven't had a proper gaming PC in years. So this will... Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked. Yeah, that's...
I want to see what they look like, because you can up-res them and, like, run anti-aliasing on them and all kinds of other stuff, right?
That's so not going to be like, good.
I heard they're going to look so good that your retinas will melt.
You know what? They'll look so good, they'll almost be like Xbox 360 games. Not really, of course.
So that's an interesting thought. I didn't know. So you can actually outdo the Wii's performance with your PC.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, provided you have the right graphics card.
I have my smartphone.
Good point.
Great. I'm going to need
I have a pretty beefy video card in there. So
very nice.
Oh, and another thing I've always wanted. I have a separate hard drive just for my OS. I bought a solid-state hard drive to boot off of.
Of course.
Nice.
Yeah. And you're running Win 7 on there?
64-bit Windows 7, yeah.
Very cool. Wow, well, you got me excited. I'm going to need a build list from you from your... that's your homework assignment from your Roundup, Grant.
All right. I have it all saved on a website called like PCPartPicker.com. It's actually what I use to build this, so I'll post it.
Please. Please send me a referral.
Was that part picker or nose picker?
A nose picker, actually. PC nose picker.
Fartpicker.com. Got it. Got it. How about you, Ricky? You been doing any fart picking?
I haven't been doing much fart picking, but I did something. I did something that I've never done before. I pre-ordered a game, my friends.
Oh, what was that?
I pre-ordered a little game called Steel Battle Lion.
Oh, cool.
And I'm very excited.
Is that like Thundercats or something?
It's kind of like Thundercats, but you're a giant vertical tank.
It's kind of like Beast Wars, but cool.
So, yeah, so the pre-orders were announced, I think, yesterday for that. And I originally had jumped around the interwebs trying to figure out who had the best add-on or pre-order bonus add-on. And everybody's pretty much the same. Capcom's only offering 3 different things, but the things that they're offering are like an armory. Nobody's getting special maps or special vehicles or anything like that. They're basically like enhancement armory packs that you can get. They're all pretty much do the same thing. They may look a little bit different from each other. But since I had a gift card from Christmas for GameStop, I went with GameStop. So I'm locked and reserved for my copy of Steel Battalion for the Xbox. So I'm excited about that.
Very cool.
And other than that, I guess I'm still on a robot front. I've been using the MakerBot to print out robots left and right. I got this really badass, fully printed, 100% printed tank tread robot that right now I have it running from my phone and from my tablet.
Nice.
But ultimately, it's made to be run on a laser tag game that we're making in preparation for Mini Maker Faire and Supercon in July. So
can't wait to see. I need to come by the club and see how the project's progressing.
The only thing that's not printed, obviously, is, you know, metal axles, some nuts and bolts here and there, and then the servos. But all the treads, the frames, all that kind of stuff, it's all printed on the MakerBot. It's really badass. And it's in this nuclear green plastic that just glows insane under ultraviolet lights. So I've been working on mounting some UV in it just so it glows when it's driving around. It looks pretty badass.
Cool,
so you're,
man,
building your own little army.
Yes. Yes. And then, you know, popping around the universe and the galaxy with my Tauntaun pet in SWTOR. Still
nice.
Kicking ass on that. It's hard to believe that I'm the only one still playing it, and I am probably miles ahead of you guys, which is very unusual because I'm usually the guy who is 4 years behind in a game, so it's nice to be on top.
I'll be jumping back in.
And on that note, I am done.
Well done, sir. Sounds like you have a lot going on. Hopefully my roundup can stack up to what you guys have come up with so far. Let's see. Where to start? Well, I am finally done with Skyrim.
Yay!
Right. I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, man. I am so done until the new downloadable content comes out in a couple months. But I'm done. I finish it. I got all the achievements I'm going to get. The one quest line that I missed, I'm forget about it. I'm not going to worry about it. And I have decided to give my R2-D2 unit a little rest and give the PS3 some love. So I don't want to commit to any like super in-depth games like that. I'm going to stick to the gaming strategy I announced a couple episodes ago here on the Nerdstravaganza podcast.
Nice.
And I have been working through an older shooter series called Resistance on the PS3. I picked the original game up a couple months ago for like $20 at Sears. Then went in and picked the sequel up at Sears for $8.
$8.
And then I will move on to Resistance 3. And then I'm going to work through a couple other, you know, quick to get through games. I would say quantity over quality approach. Before moving on to another in-depth game, and I've got many of those waiting in the wings. And I'm also going to plan to get a little SWTOR time in, because I really do want to play with my little Tauntaun pet that I earned.
I think you might enjoy the game more if you join the light side, bro.
Really?
Only because, I mean, I'm sure it's fun being like a total Dick Sith and go around killing people with no mercy and whatever.
Yeah, kind of.
But I think if you were to play on the light side, you'd feel more like how you felt growing up watching the movies, and I think it'll suck you in a little deeper.
Okay. Well, that's always the goal, to get sucked in a little deeper.
Like, I love going to a place. Like, I get excited when I'm like, oh, man, I get to go to, like, Tatooine. And I know you get to go to those places when you're the dark side, but it's different when you go to these places as the light side, defending it, because that's what you're used to doing. That's what you're used to seeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just seems so wussy.
No way!
Because the light side kind of sucks.
Dude, you play light, you play light side in WoW.
I don't play any of that stuff in any game.
But they're not all so positive.
It's not.
It's just oh so positive.
I don't know, man. If you just go for light side points, it can be. But I'm just kind of like, I just go with my mood. And, you know, I'm a cyborg smuggler guy, so I'm just kind of a, ugh. Sometimes I just want money. Sometimes I care about helping someone. I don't know. It depends on my mood.
Well, I just, when I play Lightside, I just feel like every time I do something, I have to turn to the camera and give like a stay off drugs kids message or something. You know, just, and remember, no. Kids, I couldn't have done this if I was using smack.
Stay away from them huts.
Some bitch tricked me. And I almost died. She tricked me. She called out some distress signal, so I went to help her. Then I get there, and she tries to kill me. And then her plan was thwarted because she's an idiot. And I could have killed her, but I didn't kill her. Instead,
nice.
But I didn't let her walk away scot-free. I took all of her money and left her stranded there.
That's fair. That's so, light side of you.
Right.
That's a little on the dark side picking in.
I'll donate this to an Ewok orphanage. Thank you very much.
But that's what I like. I like the ability to be able to do that, where it's like you can still be a dick, but you're on the good side.
A good dick.
It seems like a very Han Solo thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. So to wrap up my roundup, two more things. I know I mentioned before that I was reading the Game of Thrones novel, and I want to announce that I finished that, and I moved on to the Clash of Kings, which is the second book in the Song of Fire and Ice series. In addition, I've been actually watching the television program and reading the comic book, so I'm fully immersed in that world. The sort of even nerdier spin I wanted to put on that, though, was that Game of Thrones is the first ebook I ever bought and read totally on electronic devices. Wow. So I have crossed a bridge there into ultimate geekdom. And and one final thing to get us back on Star Wars track, because that is where we're going this episode. The final thing I'll say in my roundup is that my little R2 unit, as Rick is always saying, it's the gift that keeps on giving. I used my $50 credit that Amazon gave me for purchasing that guy when I pre-ordered him. And I used that towards reserving a game called Dragon's Dogma, which I've been wanting.
Ooh.
So maybe some controversy about whether or not that's going to be good or bad, but I'm looking forward to it.
It looks fantastic. You know what? It looks like a better version of Kingdoms of Marmaduke the Barkening. So, you know, it's piqued my interest.
And good, I'm still playing. I know you were skeptical at first about Dragon's Dogma, but going back a few episodes. But
I prefer more Dragon's personal spirituality, you know? I think that the dragon can be within yourself without having to adhere to some
dogma.
Religious dogma. Yeah.
I just thought it was about the dragon. I thought the dragon was adopted by a dog.
Dog mom.
Oh, God.
I want
God.
To stab you through the computer. Dragons stab you in the eyes.
You get in here right now and quit flying around outside with your friends. Oh, dog mom.
That's the worst.
I'm going to rough you up. All right, so on that horrible note...
I'll rough you up.
On that horrible note, I'm done with my roundup. That concludes our roundups. And we have got an action-packed feature segment, which may drag on to two episodes. This is so awesome. Without further ado, I'll briefly explain that we are doing a Star Wars Battle Royale using a randomized bracket system. It's going to be hosted by none other than Battlemaster Rick. He's going to take us through each round of this battle royale, and a winner, probably one of the characters I chose, will emerge and will be crowned champion of our first ever Nerdtravaganza Super Duper Star Wars Battle Royale, whatever Rick called it is the official name.
How this is going to work, Tommy, is we had the boys all chip in four names. Four species, for whatever they wanted, as long as it was Star Wars. And what we did was we computed up on the little computer there a algorithm that would spit out random choices in random orders by random peoples. And this is what we came up with.
Hold on. Press the button that does it, okay?
Rick, that sounds pretty exciting, I have to confess. As a Star Wars geek and a mixed martial arts expert and aficionado, I enjoy combat and the art of combat. So
and the martial art of combat.
And the art of combat, no matter how you look at it, Keith. So without further delay, who is our first matchup? Who is battling first?
Okay, Tom. In this first epic battle, we have a choice that came up from the random machinimator. First choice was a Tom choice.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be the Droidica.
Yes.
And he will be going up against Kamino's finest, Boba the Fett, as chosen by Grant.
You're dead. The Droidicas,
yeah, the Droidicas are the sphere ones with the awesome shields.
Yes. No, the Droidicas are the ones that roll into battle and then assume like quadruped form and blast you, and they have like those shields to deflect things. That's a Droidica, yeah. Also known as a destroyer droid.
Gosh. Also known as a wheel droid, a roller, or rollies in clone trooper slang.
There
clone
you go.
Trooper slang.
But now I wish I'd picked... Now, depending on how the Droidica fares, I might switch to one of those cool ones with the glowing electro staff. Those are cool.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I picked Boba Fett as a joke because I think Boba Fett is a joke as a Star Wars character.
Agreed.
What? They have Australian Star Wars.
Here's the deal with Boba Fett. He was killed by a blind guy with a stick.
Exactly. And my Droidica could definitely hit him in the backpack and make him go flying into a pit.
Okay. Does Droidicas actually kill anybody in Star Wars, though? Or do they just, like, miss at close range a whole bunch?
The Droidicas, when they concentrate their fire, can definitely, like, overwhelm a Jedi or something like that. Like, they're kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it happened.
Wow, this is a heavy, heavy battle here to start it off.
Hey, Uri Fenn quotes, Droidicas are fast, very fast.
There you go. In fact, if you recall from episode one, when Obi-Wan Kenobi and his master Qui-Gon Jinn were infiltrating the Trade Federation ship, when Droidicas came rolling around the corner and trained their guns on them, their reaction was to use, for the one and only time the ability was ever used in the entire Star Wars storyline, their
force run
to go dashing off around the corner because they were afraid of them.
Why didn't they just use Force Explode?
I don't know. Later, they just used, like, Force Chop You to Death with my lightsaber, and they were no big deal. But for whatever reason, they were formidable in that movie. So I choose that version.
And General Grievous favored them because of their resilience and firepower.
That's right.
As well as the fear it could instill even in the most powerful of Jedis, as pointed out by my co-host, Tom.
Droidica! It wins.
Also, they lack catchphrases, which is a pretty important thing when you're building a robot army.
I mean, every time one of them would roll up, at least I knew he wasn't going to bust out a lame catchphrase.
Roger, Roger.
Ugh.
I pick Boba Fett as a joke. I say the Droidica wins this one, because Boba Fett is a joke as a character.
I'll agree with you, Grant, I will accept this victory only on the condition that the Droidica shoots Boba Fett's legs out, then saunters around behind him, like sidewalks, like a crab, and then shoots him in the backpack and makes him go flying off.
Here's how the battle goes down, right? Boba Fett's having a picnic on a nice vista on the planet of Geonosis, right?
Okay.
The helmet's off, he's eating a sandwich, just looking over the area where his father died, kind of feeling sad. A Droidica is just being moved by a moving company, and it accidentally falls off the back of a truck. Rolls down a hill, bumps into Boba Fett, and he just falls off a cliff.
I like it. And he screams like a bitch when he dies.
Yeah, and he's dead. That's okay. How it goes down.
So the declared winner of Droidica, destroyer droid, versus Boba the Mandalorian Fett. Victory goes to Droidica.
Yes! Random droid beats lame bit.
Horribly played, Grant. Horribly played.
I think
everybody has one joke character, and Boba Fett was my joke character.
Yeah.
I didn't have a joke character, but okay.
Oh. I definitely picked... I was just hoping somebody would fight me on Boba Fett being a massive joke as a character.
Yeah, he is.
I don't think he is the one greatest character out of Star Wars, because when you were playing with your toys, everybody wanted to have the Boba Fett doll, dude.
I wanted to have Batman.
you didn't want Yoda, you didn't want the medical droid. Well, Rick probably wanted the medical droid, but
exactly.
Everybody else wanted to be Boba Fett because he was the man.
I liked Yoda because he was a wizard.
Okay, so you liked wizards, he liked robots.
How was Boba Fett even the man, though? I guess
I don't get that either, yeah. Just because he's from Mandalore.
He was a good tracker.
He was the coolest dude in all the movies. He was cooler than Han.
I so disagree. And how he still has this rabid following after he died like such a chump.
He did die chumpish.
That was an equipment malfunction. It wasn't his fault.
You didn't have to scream like a friggin' wimp.
You don't turn your back on the enemy like that. For him to give a shot to the back to a blind guy with a stick is...
He died the death of 1,000 cheerleaders.
Save the world.
So Master of Terra Kasai, what's our next matchup?
I love that game. Do not give me shit.
I like how they had a Gamorrean going up against Luke Skywalker.
And winning.
That's what the battle sounded like.
Alright, so in our next matchup, we have randomly generated a Keith pick of Tusken Raider. Going up, coincidentally, against yours truly's pick of the Gamorrean Guard. Oddly viewed as a mindless, intellectually inferior brute by the wider galactic community, a badass nonetheless. And I think Pig Boy would take down Dirt Boy in a second.
Listen, the Tusken Raiders scare easily, but they'll be back. And in more numbers.
Greater numbers.
Greater numbers. That is true.
Yeah, but there's no rules.
But I think in a one-on-one, going at it, I think Pig Boy will beat the snot out of Dirt Boy.
No. There's no way. He's too fat. He's never really done anything good other than poke at backs of Jedis. Other than that, they make good.
That's all we've seen. That's all we've seen. They have hatchets, my friend.
Yeah, hatchets for what? Were they chopping firewood for Jabba's cookout?
Yeah, you know what makes great firewood? Tusken Raiders.
They have all those cloths. Those cloths that they're wearing, they burn.
Right.
Tusken Raiders are so brash and violent that they'll take pot shots at pod racers.
That's a good point.
They don't care.
And they're kind of a ranged fighter. The Pig Boy, though he is more of a brute and a savage, would have to close distance before he stood a chance.
Here's the deal, though. We have it on the authority of one of the greatest Jedi Masters of all time that Sand Raiders are worse shots than Stormtroopers. They lack the accuracy to concentrate fire that Stormtroopers have. Now think about what you know about Stormtroopers and blaster accuracy, and tell me that that is going to be a good matchup.
Listen, if you're the lone survivor of a Jedi attack that comes to your village and kills all of your fellow warriors and the women and the children, that's going to put a lot of hate in you, and you're going to be able to take on any kind of battle anything can bring, especially some kind of a pig guard.
I don't know. I think the Pork Chop Express is going to run this guy over.
I agree, dude.
Gosh, it's tough because I still think, like, enough of them firing wildly as Pig Boy like trundles across the, or not trundles,
yeah,
but
lumbers
across the dunes.
But there would have to be equal as many Pig Boys.
Okay.
Like, yeah,
you
I mean,
you have 50 Sand Raiders against one Gamorrean guard.
That's not fair.
Okay, if it's equal numbers.
That thing is so stupid and mindless and brute forcey, he would just like, bloop, 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 bloop. He would just tromp right up. He wouldn't even care. He could take pot shots into his fat all day long. That bastard is not going down until he chops off some heads with his sweet Molly hatchet.
Well, let's compare their battle cries.
Can we?
Tusken Raider has one battle cry. Exactly. That's it. The Gamorrean guard just has some kind of squeal and runs away.
Dude, he was being chased by a Rancor when he squealed and ran away.
You didn't
he
see run. any Tusken Raiders running away from that Rancor. They would have stood
their
ground.
I know what they
did
run from.
The Tusken Raiders ran from Obi-Wan Kenobi making his little cry at or his Kyrat dragon cry.
Crate dragon, yeah.
Crate dragon. Actually, yeah. That was kind of like a dumb, like, that was the equivalent of like somebody putting a sheet over their head and going, woo, and you running away like a coward.
I didn't say that they didn't scare easily.
I think they do scare easily. I think while Pigboy himself may run in the face of a Rancor, I could throw a sheet over my head and scare a Tusken Raider off. Yeah. So
an old man with a duck call scared away a bunch of Tusken Raiders.
All right,
and you're making fun of the poor pig boy from running away from a very real and very angry Rancor pit monster.
All right, Clegg Lars, Shimi's Skywalker's, stepfather of Luke and Leia.
Yes. Yep.
Oh yeah. Her.
He quotes that. Those Tuskens walk like men, but they're vicious, mindless monsters. Mm. So I would say if Tusken Raider against a human may have a chance, Tusken Raider against an angry side of fucking pork ain't happening.
That's true. I think there's going to be some. There's going to be some sweet and sour pork coming down on the Tusken Raider, and the sweet's going to be taken out of it. I think Pig Boy can win this one.
All right, so we got two for Pig Boy. Grant, you're the decider.
Pig Boy.
Oh, man.
Sorry, man.
No whammies.
Sweet and sour pork with the sweet taken out? You didn't like that? I thought that was funny.
I loved it. All right, so the winner of the Tusken Raider Gamorrean Galactic Smackdown, Pig Boy in the lead, which all means... Right. Next bracket is Droidica versus Pig Boy.
Oh! We got to do the second round.
I'm just saying that's where we're at with phase. That's our mini phase one right there. So we're gonna go into phase two, and we're gonna kick up the little randomizer machine. See what we pull out.
No whammies. Big money.
And we get Athorian, which is also known as Hammerhead, as seen in the Cantina, versus another Keith pick, the Geonosians. Whoa. Insects against hammers. Go.
So we have a shark guy versus an insect guy?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the insect guys win.
The shark. He's a shark.
He's not a shark. He's a drunk in a bar.
Oh, wait a minute now. The Athorians do more than just get drunk in bars, I think. I don't really know what else they do.
That's racist. Two, if you're going to list the number of things that drunks in bars cannot do, fighting is not one of those items.
That's true. That is what I have drunks to give it to the Hammerhead do. For that.
Well, the other incident we had with the drunks, the dude got his arm cut off. So he couldn't fight.
A lightsaber, does insect... What's he going to do? Chomp him on his mandibles when he's passed out?
Absolutely. Bring all his insect buddies and they'll just land on his hammerhead curved head that makes no sort of expression whatsoever. It just turns right to left.
But yeah, you don't know what he's thinking. You don't know if he's going to attack or pull out some bug spray. You know, as a Geonosian, you're afraid of that.
That's a good point. The Geonosian could be killed by a soap bath. He breathes through his chitinous exterior.
I mean, you don't know.
A cat wash could kill a Geonosian.
And look, the Athorian could have, like, mothballs on him or something. You don't know.
Geonosians could fly. You can't knock them out too easily because they can fly.
But Athorians have two mouths and four throats, allowing them to speak in stereo, my friend.
That's right. And, I gotta say, like they're cool. Their voices sound cooler. I mean, I think the boom with the intimidating call from the Athorian, the Bugman might scurry away to his little hole in the wall.
Plus, Athorians, there's a Jedi Athorian. There's no Jedi Geonosian.
But the Geonosians have such a great fighting culture. They've got battle arenas on their home world where they pit one against the other. With their battle animals, and they've with the fish dude, all he got is drinking in a bar.
You know what? I'm going with Keith on this one. The Geonosians are known for fucking all that pit fighting. And
they're warlike.
They're
yeah.
very Do warlike, they? And they heavy labor, and they know how to build robots. Come on.
But are we fighting against his robots and his
pit monsters? No, but would you rather go up against a barista or a steel worker? That's what I'm talking about. Because
I don't know, is the barista a fucking shark?
The barista is a mammalian herbivore sentient species from the planet Ithor, okay?
Wait, this shark is an herbivore?
That screams space hippie to me. Space hippies don't scare me.
This Bug fucking like iron space workers, shark is...
the shit out of me, guy.
So what'd you tell me? This space shark is an herbivore.
Yeah, it kind of is. They're kind of pussies, actually.
Chinosin wins.
This is the closest thing to a Joe character I picked. I just thought it'd be funny to see what an Ithorian could actually beat. But yeah, I mean, they're not really very warlike. They're kind of just just look at them. They don't look like they can fight very well.
So what you're telling me is in the cantina he was drinking apple teenies.
Yes,
he sure was.
Yeah,
so
I'll take it out of here. Ithorian loses.
Well, he was waiting for his shift at Starbucks. It fits because it's Star Wars in Starbucks.
That's Starbucks.
All right, so do we all agree?
Yeah, the Ithorian was working at Starbucks, working on his novel on his Macebook Pro.
Macebook Pro. All right, well, there you have it. The Ithorian takes second place to the bug-like iron worker, Geonosian.
Yes.
I'm down with this one. I like that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Geonosian for the win.
Survey says.
All right, our next picks. Oh, this is a good one. This is a Rick against Grant.
Oh.
And I think we're going to need help from the peanut gallery to solve this one.
Because mine's going to win.
Come on, Jimmy Carter.
The Rick pick is the one, the only, the interrogation droid.
The floating first orb with a needle.
Floating orb with a needle of doom.
Oh, is that what it was called?
Yeah. Or some people like to call him Dr. Ball. All right. And he's going up in the arena against, and I don't know how this one slipped in, but the mighty Borg drone.
What's a Borg drone doing here?
He slipped in under the radar.
Because he's probably the most powerful creature in the universe, and he used a transwarp conduit to go back in time.
Oh, God.
Wait, this isn't Hugh, is it?
No, this is a standard Borg drone. This isn't one of the Voyager or one of the converted Borg drones.
Oh, okay.
Boy, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. With the Borg drone singular, you're SOL.
Cause he has no connection to life.
Yeah, without their collective mind, he's just, you know, lame...
They immediately, if they're separated from the Hive, they immediately begin to take the necessary steps to contact the collective, and then they will defend themselves if necessary.
So he's going to spend all his time trying to contact while the interrogation droid pumps him full of truth serum and gets the information he needs on how to disable the Borg.
As soon as the needle pokes his skin, nanoprobes rush through the needle and convert the Borg drone, or convert the torture drone.
I was thinking the same thing.
Now you have a Borg drone and a totally sweet Borg interrogation drone. And let me tell you something. A floating robot, that's kind of terrifying. A floating fucking Borg torture device would be the worst thing in the world. So now you have that to deal with, too, in the next battle.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, the Borg drone on its own might be kind of useless and not really even concerned with the torture droid as it approached him, because he's too busy trying to connect to the collective. But once those nano... machines make their way up his needle probe and make him into a piece of Borg machinery, you've got problems, because once the Imperials take him away to interrogate someone else, he's then going to spread the nano machines to his next victim and so on and so forth. Next thing you know, you got a big drone epidemic on your hands.
But wouldn't the interrogation droid have some sort of fail-safes against that sort of attack? Seeing as how the Empire is taking over the universe, I would imagine they would have encountered a Borg drone or two in their travels.
Good point, Keith. Good point.
No, you can't prepare for this rapidly evolving piece of machinery that's going to assimilate everything in its path. You can't resist assimilation. It's futile.
Good point. I just see this as the Borg drone phone home and the interrogation droid never getting any answers to his questions.
It is kind of the worst conversation ever.
It's kind of a draw, and then
but you keep forgetting. He's an interrogation droid, right? And that means torture treatments, bro. So
you torture that which has no feelings.
It's fleshy.
You know what? It wins because it's Star Wars, not Star Trek. Boom! You can't deny that logic.
Actually, as futile as it would be for
that's
the interrogation...
Irrefutable logic.
It is, because the interrogation drone would profit nothing from interrogating the drone, and it would just keep like probing it with its needle and getting massively infected by nano machines. But in the end, it's Star Wars.
More powerful and interrogate with even deeper treatments of terror.
Well, here's
it
the
it would get assimilated as soon as it even attempted to approach the drone.
I think it would get assimilated.
Yeah, but that thing would be assimilated.
But here's my question. Does the Empire, do they issue clean needles to their interrogation droids so that they don't infect the... Because when it goes and sticks that needle in someone else, like I said, you're infecting him next.
Okay, but that's not its only mode of torture. You know what I mean? That's just like the easy way. All right, shoot him up with some serum. That's just like a scare tactic. God. It's like you go in with this floaty needle and you're like, oh shit, that's a big-ass needle. I'm going to tell this guy what he wants because I don't want that thing touching me. But yeah. He had arms and pinchers and all kinds of stuff, dude. He'd probably electrocute you even.
Lasers.
You can't electrocute a Borg drone. The Borg drone is immune to whatever.
As long as you get the phase calculations correct.
But with that being said, if Borg drone wins this, then Borg drone wins everything.
No.
Exactly. That's why it's in there. Borg drone is better than anything in Star Wars. That's why I put it in here.
You got to think of the transfer of the nanites. The transfer of the nanites were through a needle. Now, if I'm, something shooting a Borg drone, nanites can't attack me.
But the Borg drone can always just touch the, with its arm and its little manacle, like, I'm going to touch you.
Not if I'm a Tusken or, oh, they're already out.
You can't bring him into this fight. He's already done. He's already had his day, and he's pig food now. I'm just going to say this. I don't know. We need to fix that random matchmaker to not match things up like this that are pointless battles. But just because the stupid Borg drone doesn't even belong here, because this is a Star Wars discussion, and Star Wars is better than Star Trek, I'm going to go with Rick and say that the droid wins.
Yay!
I'm going with Tom is dumb and wrong. What do you think, Keith?
Droid.
Yes!
I'm through with you all.
Your argument's about as valid as saying that Hollywood Studios is the best park at Walt Disney.
All right, what's next? I'm infuriated. Let's have it.
The interrogation droid wins the pointless and completely implausible battle.
Bullshit.
Between a non-existent creature in this galaxy and itself.
And so long ago.
It's so far.
Time travel and transwarp conduits, guys. Jesus.
God, Star Trek is so, like, there's, everything's tech. Man, transwarp conduits and blah, blah. Anyway, having completed that first round, we're going to, if you want to visualize it, we've basically completed the first round in the Galactic Conference East, and now we're going to switch over to the Galactic Conference West, or in Grant terms, the Alpha Quadrant has been accounted for. Now we're going to go to the Beta Quadrant to see who wins the first round.
No! When do we ever talk about the Beta Quadrant? The Beta Quadrant never comes up in... Jesus. Do you guys even watch Star Trek? Just get on with this.
Not if there's Star Wars on.
Exactly. All right, Tom. Well, the random generator has spit out two contestants for the next battle. We've got a Grant pick again, and we've got a Tom pick.
All right.
So we've got the Grant pick of Greedo the Rodian.
Ooh.
And Tom's pick, Besalisk, also known as Dex the Fry Cook.
Dex the Fry Cook?
From the diner.
What diner?
The guy who knows where death sticks come from?
Yeah.
Oh, that dude?
Against Greedo?
The big guy?
He knows stuff, he's knowledgeable, and he can whip up a mean omelet.
Does he shoot first?
I don't think he shoots at all, he just spits grease at you.
He shoots your mug full of some hot Joe whenever it runs dry, I'll tell you that much.
If he don't shoot first, I think we got a greasy funeral in our future.
First of all, let's just say we're talking Dex, the proprietor of Dex's Diner on Coruscant. And let's just say Greedo walks in and orders something and there's a dispute about the bill. I mean, I picked Dex, and I think I know how that one's going to end.
I have to agree. It's hands down pretty much Greedo takes this one.
Yeah, like Greedo wins.
It's four hands down because Dex is a four-handed Besalisk.
Does he get any help from Flo or Alice?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
None. Even Vera didn't want to get this guy.
They're infected with nanites anyway from the Borg drone that he served last and didn't clean the forks properly.
All right, so are we going with Greedo specifically, yes, or are we going just Rodians in general?
Nope, Greedo.
Rodian? Rodian? I don't know how to say it.
Rodian, yeah.
He's a Rodian, yeah.
Okay.
Grant chose Greedo specifically. I chose a generic Besalisk. But, I mean, they seem kind of soft and weak to begin with. I mean, and like
they seem like Gamorreans without the axes.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, they can have as many as 8 arms.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind
of. They got frog-like heads, so they seem amphibious somewhat.
Actually, Keith, they evolved from large flightless avians, though are often mistaken for a reptilian species.
How in the heck could that thing fly?
Well,
that's why they were flightless.
So,
I know nothing of their demeanor, but since this one's a fry cook, he's either an ex-con or just a just didn't make it in life.
A fly cook.
Welcome the sweet release of death.
You know, if that movie had been released like now, a few years later, he would actually have a food truck because that's like the trend. He wouldn't have a diner.
Check this out, Tom. Chatty, quick to form lasting friendships and lovers of adventure.
Oh.
They often were fearless and sought thrills without care for themselves. Mm. So maybe he would be a badass in a fight.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
This often caused trouble amongst their employers, so they were known to walk off the jobs when bored, never to return. Losers!
So in our hypothetical battle, where there's a dispute over the check, and it's Greedo or a Greedo-like member of his species. I mean, it's very likely that even if the Besalisk could win, he'll just I don't need this job and like throw his apron away and walk out.
Exactly. So, not only did we agree that he loses, we have proven that he would lose.
Yeah, he would lose either by losing or just or forfeiting by quitting his job, saying take this job and shove it. So
and
yeah,
then, and then screaming at the patrons to kiss his grits.
Whatever, dude. I got tables.
I go with Greedo.
Greedo it is.
Greedo is the winner of this round, which brings us to the next round. And we've got a Keith pick and a Rick pick.
Ooh.
We've got Ewoks versus Jawas. It's the fight of the little.
Oh,
that's perfect.
Okay, here's the deal, and here's what's going to determine this. Where are they fighting?
Yeah.
In space.
Are there asteroids around?
It's hard. I don't know. Where are they fighting? Just in general. I'm gonna say, well, God, this is a hard argument, because I was going to say Jawas take it because they're more technologically advanced, but so were Stormtroopers, and they lost, so.
I know.
I think if the Ewoks are fighting on their home turf, the Ewoks win. If it's anywhere else, the Jawas win. The only reason the Ewoks won because home court advantage. They were like the Viet Cong of Endor.
Exactly.
Well, what if they were, let's say they were fighting...
in a Geonosian battle arena?
Jawas.
To the death, Jawas.
Jawas.
You know what? And I really...
But the Jawas don't fight! They're just like, you know, peddlers. They like work the swap meet and stuff like that.
Swap meet! But dude, like anybody who's a peddler in the dark, you know, I mean, they're dealing with stolen equipment, you know, like shady characters. They got to deal with all kinds of people. So I think that even though they're passive, I still think that they would be able to defend themselves just because they have to deal with so many shady people. They've got to be able to stand up for themselves and at least, you know, not get taken advantage of or swindled or robbed. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Okay. You know what, Rick?
Like any good pusher, they've got to be able to hold their own.
You've I think sealed it for me. Using their guile, I think Jawa just sitting in an arena, assuming he had like his few, like, let's just assume they had a few weapons or devices. Either like the Ewok would have his spear and rocks or whatever he would normally carry, and the Jawa would have a few trinkets.
And superior cunning. Don't forget superior cunning.
Well, that's what I'm going to get to. I see the Jawa with its superior cunning.
No, the Ewoks have superior cunning.
The Ewoks are dense. They thought C-3PO was a god because, just because he was made of metal. And this is my point. The Jawa could easily, like, they meet each other in battle, and the Jawa walks up and hands the Ewok something shiny that the Ewok admires, and then the Jawa walks, like, 10 meters away and then hits a detonator and blows the Ewok's head off with, like, the bomb he planted in that little gadget he handed him.
So, that's true. They are pretty easily fooled.
Yeah, but the Jawa peddle in ill-gotten and disrepaired goods that often don't work.
That's what you want. That exploding droid they tried to push on Owen, that would be perfect. Push that on the Ewok, and before the Ewok could say, what are you trying to push on us? Boom, it explodes. That's the end of the Ewok.
That's right. Techno trickery.
I don't know. I hate Ewoks, too. I don't want to let it, that bias is definitely there.
Who has the better movie ending song sequence?
Nobody now. It's world music. Haven't you watched?
Yes, I have.
Oh, God, no. Ewoks lose just because of Yub Dub. Here's what I'm going to say. If the fight's on Endor, the Ewoks win. Anywhere else, the Jawas win. And being that Endor is only one Force moon and the galaxy is everything else, Jawas win.
Plus, yeah. Jawas are able to, they got like that shaman-like quality about them, so they can make people have hallucinations and shit. So even if they weren't strong physically to take somebody down, they could mind F them.
Plus, one look at the Jawa's golden eyes, and the Ewok would probably think he was a god. They're so stupid.
Plus, they stink. All right, that's what the fight should be. Who stinks more, a Jawa or an Ewok?
Well, on the forest, it's more of a musky smell, but out in the desert, it's just...
It's pure sweat. Snack.
I always imagine the Jawa probably smells like an Indian restaurant a little bit. Whereas, you know, not an unpleasant smell, but it takes a little getting used to, but the Ewok just smells like a wet dog.
No, here's how it goes down. Jawas smell like Burning Man hippies. Ewoks smell like Whole Foods, like, no, not even Whole Foods,
tree
like local
hippies.
Farmer co-op, tree-hugging hippies, yeah.
Ewoks reek of fennel.
Basically, you don't want to be around any of it. But I think I'm just going to go ahead and say my vote's final for the Jawas because they win anywhere but Endor.
Yeah, I'm with them. They win.
Unfortunately... I have to agree. I have been beaten.
Unfortunately, I believe they're going to be taken out by their predecessing winner, but whatever.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Greedo versus Jawas? Yeah.
All right, so that wraps it up on that one. Jawas stink worse and fight better. So Jawas win. The next round we have is an interesting one, I think. The machine has spit out a Grant and Keith pick, so the battle is between these two. I think this might be the first time they've gone against each other. And what we have here, on Grant's corner, the one, the only, Salacious Crumb.
Whoa.
Also known as a space monkey.
Space monkey?
Is that what he is? He's a space monkey?
He's like a Kowikian space monkey or something like that.
He is the muppetiest dude in the whole movie.
And he's going up against Keith. Keith's pick, which is a Doug species, also known as the Sebulbas.
Ooh. Oh, Sebulbas got it.
Oh, God. This is a snack.
He's a snack for the Doug. Is it a Doug?
Yeah, it's a Doug.
Yeah, I mean, it would be comical to see how much the space monkey could annoy the Doug before he, like, ate him.
Wouldn't he just jump up to the rafters and laugh at him?
All right, his name is actually Salacious B. Crumb, and he's a Kowakian monkey lizard.
We know that the Dugs are fond of eating lizards and reptiles.
Yeah, so I think he would just become a snack.
But it would be the most fun battle because, first of all, the Doug would just walk away like, this thing isn't worth my time, but it would just continue to pester and annoy him and like, yeah.
Didn't he play in that Electric Mayhem band?
No, that was like Honeycomb.
I think you're thinking of Dr. Teeth.
I think the Doug would. It would be. The question is, would the Doug just eat him or like rip his arms apart first?
I think he would enjoy tearing him limb from limb. Yes.
And the thing would be laughing the whole time. It would be laughing its ass off as each of its limbs got ripped off. And even as its head was going down the Doug's mouth, it would still be laughing.
That's all it does.
Yeah.
I think Salacious Crumb would give Sebulbasaur an aneurysm.
He'd kill him from the inside.
He would. He would just, like, just fucking make his stress so much that he'd either do something dumb and die, or...
You really?
Because Sebulba's got nothing. Sebulba's just dumb.
He's got feet tough. For arms and arms for feet.
Yeah, they're super strong.
What's he gonna do, goggle him to death?
I don't know, man.
But those goggles are important because, as we all know, Salacious Crumb's type go right for the eyes.
They do. They're eye packers.
Yeah.
He would just goo his eyes. He would just find some kind of goo and cover the goggles.
It's a good point. He did pick a droid's eye out. I mean, that takes a little doing. Hmm.
Yeah, he's a little bugger, but I think Sebulba would have none of it.
Sebulba might lose an eye in the process, but I think his species would defeat the space monkey.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a hands down. Down his throat! Ah! Yeah, so everybody in agreement that Salacious B. Crumb is dead and dicks?
Nope, I think you're wrong.
Here.
I'm in agreement, but I think your algorithm needs a little retooling so it's not as cruel in the future.
All right, so we got the Doug winning one.
What would you want to see? The interrogation droid up against Salacious Crumb?
Yes, now that would be fantastic.
That would be awesome, because it wouldn't catch him.
Salacious Crumb would win that one. He would just
ride it around like a chariot.
They'd form an alliance, like this annoying floating torture and like just antics. Ball.
Like good cop, annoying cop. The Empire would use that as a duo to like, oh, just get that creature out of here. I'll answer any questions you want.
Thank the maker, he's gone. Just blow up fucking Hoth, it's there already.
Thank the maker. That's so awesome.
Alright, well, this brings us to the last battle of today's show our first set of brackets. And it's a Rick and Tom battle.
Uh oh.
Bantha against the Crate Dragon.
Bum bum bum.
Against the who?
This is like Jurassic Park, Tyrannosaurus Rex versus the goat.
That's right.
It kind of is. That Bantha's going to tear the Crate Dragon up.
What's like, unless the dragon chokes on the Bantha.
Yeah, it's a... What's a Crate Dragon, Keith?
What's a Crate Dragon?
Remember in, I believe it was episode 4, where 3PO and R2 were rolling through the desert and they roll by like a massive like dinosaur-like skeleton?
Yes.
That's a Crate Dragon skeleton. They're huge lizards that live on Tatooine and are very vicious.
They you fight much... one in Dark Forces, don't you?
I know you fight one in the Old Republic for the Xbox, so you fight several, so or at least one.
They grow to be the length of 45 meters and weigh 20,000 kilos.
Wait. Are we talking about a canyon crate or a greater crate?
Take your pick of crate versus a giant woolly cow.
He just said straight up crate.
Yeah.
Now,
all right, I would think we have to go with Canyon Crate then, which is going to be a knock against it.
Why is that?
It's just not as good as the Greater Crate, obviously.
Well, okay. if it's the crates from Tatooine, they're all dead already, so...
No, they're not.
We've already got a winner.
They're not they're extinct. Not. They're just
hidden.
They just happen to walk by a skeleton in the movie. But I think the Krayt Dragon is actually a predator, and the Bantha is kind of just like a big cow.
A good ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But what now, Tusken Raider buddies are riding, and that's different. But.
That's true.
And they travel in single files, so you don't know how many there could be. It could be a whole herd of Bantha.
Yep.
That's true. The Krayt Dragon just figures, hopefully this leads to more than one, but I'll take one, too.
But he's so much bigger than... I didn't realize that the Krayt Dragon was that big.
They're giant.
He's humongous. And the Bantha... I mean, I was going to go down the road of, you know, like woolly mammoth or just like an elephant, you know, like just because they're so big and so they could be so powerful and crazy, even though they're a docile creature by nature, you'd figure if you get anything pissed off enough, if it's big enough, it can hurt you.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And I think that logic would have worked up against probably anything else on this list. Like, Bantha versus Ewok, I'm going with Bantha all the way. But I think I have to just bow down or bow out of this one and just accept defeat against the Krayt Dragon.
Yes. I don't know. I read here that in spite of its awesome power, the Krayt Dragon did have its weak and exploitable points.
Which uh-huh. are?
First, it
glowing red parts.
It had trouble resisting the allure of prey of the Dune Sea, specifically the Bantha.
So it had trouble resisting
it's
eating
natural
them.
Prey.
So what is the Bantha going to lure?
Damn, it's so natural prey.
It's going to eat it. It's going to eat itself to death.
I mean,
nice.
Bantha wins.
You get 100 Banthas, and the Krayt Dragon just dies of being exhausted from eating them and fucking their corpses.
Exactly. It just gorges itself to death.
All right, so if we were going species against species, Bantha would win.
It also, well, there's more. It had difficulty discerning two-dimensional images, often attacking shadows. Bantha are huge and cast a huge shadow, so the Bantha might just stand there and watch this dragon attacking its shadow on the sand and laugh at it.
Tire itself out and then gouge it.
I want to be clear. So we're basically saying, like, a lion has a good chance of losing to, like, you know, a gazelle. I mean, that could happen.
Well, because... a herd of gazelle.
No. We're already doing it's one against one here.
Yeah, it's like, only one against one.
So what we're saying is that a bear has a good chance of losing against a rabbit because bears love to eat rabbits. That's essentially what I'm hearing here.
And bears' vision isn't good, so sometimes instead of eating the rabbit, they attack a pine cone.
But here's the deal. Like, oops, wait, I'm eating sand, not a bantha. Wait, right. There's the bantha chomp.
I'll just keep trying until it tastes like bantha instead of sand. What? No, I'm defeated. Ah,
arg!
Maybe a Jawa could take a Krayt Dragon because it would do something clever to trap it with a Bantha, but...
Right, but a big lumbering...
Like, a Bantha can't... Within the rules of this game, a Bantha cannot trap a Krayt Dragon with a Bantha.
Right.
That hurts my head to think about.
Sure, it takes the weak old Bantha and it puts it out there as bait.
The Krayt Dragon will defeat its natural prey. Generally, when a species...
It finds it.
When a species develops a taste for another species as natural prey, it's usually because the predator species can prevail, not because it's a toss-up every time they encounter each other.
I didn't see any Bantha skeletons in Star Wars.
Because the Krayt Dragon ate them.
Bones and all.
Bones and all, and crapped out sand. That's how good they are at digesting Banthas.
Okay, well, it's decided then. Krayt Dragon wins.
Yes.
The final battle.
That should not have been that pitched, by the way.
Well, we didn't know its weaknesses.
Yeah.
Its weaknesses for delicious Bantha flesh, which it consumes in prodigious amounts.
It sucks. But I gotta say, the random generator spit out a couple really good ones. I thought the interrogation droid and the Borg droid was a good one.
Perfect.
And
even though you had to fall back on a bullshit technicality to win.
Yeah, it's true. And the Raider Gamorrean. There's some good matchups here.
No, these were all good in their own way.
Heck,
I mean,
Ewoks and Jawa was a good matchup.
Yep,
I think that's probably the classic matchup right there.
All right, so to round up what we're going to have for next the next set of eliminations, which we're going to continue on another show, will be the Destroyer Droid against the Gamorrean Guard, Geonosians against Interrogation Droids, Greedos against Jawas, and Dugs against Crate Dragons.
This should be great. I can't wait.
No. Wait. Doug didn't win against Salacious Crumb. That was just tomfoolery.
Oh, no.
Right?
The Dugs won.
Dugs won.
That's the worst.
They had a bad case of indigestion and a migraine when they were done, but they definitely won.
Fine.
Now, there was an undercard battle that I wanted to ask you guys about.
What's that?
What would win in a fight, the Garbage Master monster versus the underwater monster on Dagobah that ate R2-D2?
Oh, wow.
I don't know what the underwater monster in Dagobah was, but I know what the one in the garbage can was. It was called a Dianoga.
A Dianoga?
Yeah.
Maybe the Dianoga was taken from a planet, taken from Dagobah as like a trash compactor, like, cleaning monster, and they're the same thing.
Could be. We'll have to research that.
Well, there was no eyeball that popped up in Dagobah to look around.
That's true.
That's a good point, but R2 was the eyeball. It lacked an eyeball, and that's why R2's it wanted to have a symbiotic relationship with R2, where R2 would act as his eyeball, because that's why his eye pops up out of the misty marsh.
Yep.
Aha.
But it spit him out, so it knew that it must have known that it wouldn't have any kind of symbiotic relationship.
Well, it decided that it didn't like to see in digital; it wanted analog vision.
Ah, okay.
I'm still going with Garbage Man.
Is it a swamp slug?
I don't know what it. I don't know what you would call it. I don't know that it was ever called anything.
What I don't know.
R2-D2.
I think the Garbage Monster would win.
Well, both of them gave up pretty easily. The Garbage Monster had Luke, and he's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not eating it.
Well, that's because he knew shit was about to get crushy.
Yeah, and I guess he, like, swam out of the trash. I never quite figured out how he escaped.
How did he not die every other time it got closed up?
He must have found a place to hide.
There was the underwater grate that he could get out of. Well, here's a better question. Why was there a horrible trash monster living on the Death Star in the first place?
I suspect the creature was probably useful for eliminating like some of the stuff in the trash.
That's what I wonder. Maybe he was there on purpose and he had like an escape hatch.
Biological filtration.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Same like we use bacteria in our septic systems to like, you know, destroy waste. I think maybe that's why that creature was put in there.
Yep.
I say algae monster wins. All right. We derailed that beast.
Well, listen, we're going to have to leave that one for next week when we do more research, because I don't know. I got nothing to say. So,
all right, that's the undercard to think about.
Yeah. So I think I can't wait for the next round of, you know, of epic battles in our next Nerdtravaganza episode. I think it's time for us to hang up the gloves for the moment, though. You guys got any parting words you'd like to say before we say farewell to our audience?
I'm going to say this. If you like this show and you're a listener, we always encourage you to find us on iTunes and to subscribe to us and leave us a positive comment letting us know what you think.
And if you want to have an epic battle up against the iTunes, you can hop on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com. That's our website where you can listen to the show, new shows, old shows, send us an email, leave us some comments, rate episodes, all kinds of groovy intergalactic interrogational stuff.
Cool. Well, with that, guys, I think this round is over, and I'll see you guys next match.
That you will, my son. Hey, swamp slugs are hermaphroditic.
So they can't get cut or they bleed to death?
Yeah.
That blows.
It blows itself.